SFJ 4x4 Studios presents.
In my oversized four-wheel drive Jeep.
A Jeep podcast starring industry experts.
Pure monosity. What? Say that again.
With mad scientist Scott Brown.
Use my drill press as a sort of lathe.
Our host, Neil Simpson.
If one light goes out, they all go out.
Filled with shenanigans.
We are really professional with Jeeps.
This is I Speak Jeep.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever, however you are joining us. Welcome. This is the I Speak Jeep podcast, episode number 44. Double four. Presented by SFJ 4x4. My name is Neil, Simpson Family Jeeps, my esteemed colleague.
Oh, boy. You usually go on.
So I know. See, I was doing it. I was suspense. That was suspense. That was
constructed.
Constructed,
huh?
Constructed suspense. This thing, I was just opening the door for your professionalism to shine through.
Mad scientist Scott Brown. Today I was making old Jeep stuff and new Jeep stuff friends.
Which you are just so skilled at. Good morning, Chuck. Chuck says, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you. And everybody's going to be logging on here shortly. This is a friendly reminder. If you are one of the lucky people who are downloading us, and we thank you so much for that. We actually have reached a new, fresh milestone. So if you're joining us via Spotify, Audible, Google Cast, you know, iTunes, all that kind of good stuff. Thank you so much for being a valued listener of ours. If you ever have the opportunity where you want to jump on and join us live, you can do so on Monday mornings at 10:19 a.m. And you can...
Should be live again.
All right. We should be good to go. I was pontificating about the fact that our valued listeners, we have reached a huge milestone, and we thank you so much for that for a couple reasons. One is you have pushed us up into a new monetized category for the podcast, so you will be hearing a handful of appropriate ads throughout the experience. That helps pay for us to prioritize and bring this show to you. But of course, as we mentioned, you could totally join us live, and there obviously are no ads other than our own that we shove in there. So that's an important thing. Also, we've had a number of people reach out and buy gear on our website, which you can do at sfj4x4.com, which is valuable. And we obviously have our very cool stickers. Let people know what a hardcore Jeeper you are. You have us on our goofy faces, and you let them know that you support the I Speak Jeep podcast show. Those stickers are those vinyl decals are exterior grade, $4.19, and they 100% profit or help out the show as our ability to bring it to you. So, today is a guest day.
It is.
And, this is going to be kind of fun. This is actually, a lot of people have mentioned, on either our YouTube or, you know, in person who catches some of our media, this cast of characters that make up SFJ. Now, there are things from an ownership level that I always tell people. Because people have asked about franchising. I always say, you know what, what makes us so successful are the people that make up the business, A. B, I will always invest in human beings, first and foremost, because the folks who put on this podcast on the production level, the techs on the floor, our mechanics, that's really the heartbeat of the business. So we're going to actually introduce to you one of the peripheral characters that is part of SFJ.
I love the emphasis on character.
Is that not the truth? I mean, for the longest time, we called him Tow Truck Jesus internally. He's just hearing that now.
He cleaned up, though.
He cleaned up.
He's over in our little green room area just cracking up at the moment.
So, So internally, we called him Tow Truck Jesus. For the longest time, he had this hair, you know, down to shoulder length hair. This guy is somebody I know personally, from childhood, honestly, and he's gone on to be a successful business owner himself. But he runs, all of our tow trucks. So if you've ever had to, pick up a vehicle for you that, you know, was reasonably within distance, he runs around in some cool pick 'em up trucks and tow trucks. And then, when he's not a tow truck driver, he is both a lead singer of a band and a fledgling restaurateur. So he's got a portfolio with him as well of oddities. So it'll be
and
pretty
snow
interesting.
Truck and snow plow.
Thank you. I was going to say, so then he's also snow, you know, plows our lot and maintains that, for us in the winter. So yeah, kind of a very, very, accomplished individual. But before we get Albert, which is his name, not Tow Truck Jesus, on the program today, How is the mad scientist doing? Are we doing 36 stuff? Are we just hibernating since this is a soggy end of the year?
Are we live? Yeah.
Okay. We lost everybody.
Yeah. Comment. Let us know we're out there.
Are we out there? Can you hear us?
Are we talking to ourselves?
I think we're talking to ourselves, folks. You got to join in. You got to jump in and let us know.
So mad scientist is trying to get some parts for his 36 and does have some stuff on order. And I'm cleaning the garage and I'm dealing with a lot of water trying to come in to my garage right now.
Right.
So yesterday I spent the day vacuuming water. That was fun. And out there this morning and it's back. So
the water
came back.
Is trying to touch you. In the 36.
Yes.
So. Oh, there we go. Look at all these people. So Kristen, the Italian stallion,
Mrs.
Chiaramonte says hi. And Joe Brilla, yes, we disappeared. I blame the Italian Sally for that.
It's the storms. I'm blaming the storms.
There's Dan. Dan's joining us. I'm here and he can hear us. All right. And Jeffrey's blaming the storms. He's probably
right.
It's
probably
true. Let's give him that. Oh, and Nicole. And actually, so Nicole is and she's an extension of Tow Truck Jesus. So
Mrs. Jesus.
Mrs. Jesus.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Hi, honey.
Oh, and there's
Mrs. Mad Scientist.
Mrs. Mad Scientist. Well, this is great. And of course, if this is your first time joining us, my wife doesn't watch the program. She doesn't give
a fake. So no Mrs. Owner.
So no Mrs. Owner. It doesn't matter. Right? We're all here and having a good time.
Yeah, my wife's currently at home watching the water pull into the garage.
So what were you? You were shop vacuuming the water out of your garage?
I was. I was old manning it. I was mad.
Were you grumbling the whole time?
You're going to need the bucket brigade today after this storm.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
But the clutch, my clutch is on order. Should be processing, shipping hopefully today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I will be able to put the old water pumps on because, you know, financial stuff, and put the motor in the car, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah,
I'll just bail some water, put the motor in the car.
Bail some water, do a little motor assembly. Bail some water.
And I have a game plan for the next round of body repair. It's going to be a little interesting, a little redneckery happening, I think.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure if the body's just going to be at a 45-degree angle or if we're going to take it back off and maybe do that with it.
For what?
So,
I mean, people who are listening don't know what you look
45.
Like Spider-Man shooting your webs out of your hands right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how I can lay the body over so I can work on it easier.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's definitely, you know, no rotisseries
with
will
no
be
rotisserie.
Used
you can't make you can't fabricable a rotisserie together.
I was watching some pictures of Jeff this morning of how he just snapped his fingers and magically had a coat closet. So
do you think he's going to make you a rotisserie out of wood?
Maybe.
Like 2x4s?
Someone you just roll it over.
No. Jeff.
I'm intrigued. I'm thinking about this
already.
He's game,
see? He's all about
this
it.
This is a bad choice. I mean, and me weighing in to say that this is a bad choice. That's
you're,
too
you're
much.
Not allowed to weigh in on wood projects, though.
That's true. I did try to have a fire over the weekend.
Oh, did you?
That didn't go well.
Oh, my God.
My son's like, I think the wood's wet, Dad.
So you were unable to light the wood.
Yes. And then my wife came out and
your reputation,
magically made fire.
Your reputation precedes you in that. You know that? Like, that's just...
So I don't work with wood. I can't even burn it when I get mad at it.
Oh, my gosh. That's spectacular. I am panicked equally about the soggy season.
Yes,
that is
the monsoon.
The monsoon that is happening outside, because obviously working on my tiny house storage shed currently still working through the process of.
I thought about gasoline, Joe. I really did.
Yeah. Joe Brilla comments more gasoline. Yeah, that was my grandfather's solution to all of it.
My kids wanted to do s'mores, so I was trying to do it the normal way or the natural way.
Did your
way.
Kids get to have s'mores then?
On my wife's fire, not mine.
We're going to take your man card. why don't you get like your torches? You can light a torch. I was using the
propane torch, and it went out multiple times.
Take the man card.
We're done. We're done with this conversation at this point.
The only way I could have got better if I would have had the big blowtorch like Greg uses. It's the only thing I could have done.
Okay.
My wife still lights campfires with a grill lighter and has no issue, Scott. Just saying.
I have a metric ton of wood. Please take some.
I'm trying to get rid of my metric ton of wood from the tree that me and Jeff cut down. That's what I'm trying to do.
And Albert is messaging us from the side. This is, oh my gosh. All right. So we're so close to drying in our tiny house, and then we really have to start the shenanigans. Once the Legal Eagle, because I actually worked.
In your shed.
Yes, my shed.
Your shed.
My shed. Once we get Legal Eagle, then we have to secure it to the ground.
Will this work?
Will that work? For our hashtag not sponsored, and we thought it was only appropriate since we have our local tow truck and recovery expert with us, we will be talking about this very neatly coiled product that we're Vanna White handing in front of the camera for you. And we'll be talking about that, and those who know what it is, you got a sneak peek. Those who are listening in, we'll share with you as we get to that point. No, I'm going to be using bottle jacks.
Oh,
so we're going to have
that
to
doesn't
dig.
Attach it though.
We're gonna well, no, we have well, so we have to lift. So everybody's like, we're going to lift this house. We're going to raise the shed from the ground.
Yes, now that we've made it really heavy with studs.
With 9 inches of stud, made it tornado proof. Yeah. My wife and I both have, and this is the unique thing that not everybody has. My wife and I both have experience lifting houses with bottle jacks.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a thing.
I think you should do it the Amish way.
Where
the whole town
where
comes.
The whole town. Yes.
And then just carries your house
carries
away.
Carries the house around. I love that.
Everybody like, lift.
Yes.
I'm going to refrain from.
Yes, don't do the accent.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't
honestly,
good.
Honestly, it started off better than most of your accents.
It did.
I will give you that.
I was literally thinking, like, that's how I fix my building out back. I just get all
a
my
team,
friends,
a team of people together.
So
and we
many
all
pizzas.
Pick it up.
Everybody pick it up. Yeah. Another team moves stuff in.
Moves stuff in underneath of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, this weekend is Southington Off-Road, so if you're listening in from afar, that is the local off-road park, also known as SOR.
The rain is currently making it more challenging as we
Absolutely.
Speak.
Absolutely. So there's going to be water crossings and water rescues galore. Lots of mud to be had, I'm certain.
I just got all the mud off the outside of mine.
Yeah.
Still cleaning the inside.
Yeah, you guys went to Elcor's Jeep Fest.
You learned why you don't. Elcor Jeep Fest without a top indoors.
Joe Brilla mentions, says, don't laugh. My Amish neighbors are planning to move their pole building in that manner.
I see no problems here.
That's perfectly fine. And after they're done there, send them to Scott's house.
Yes, and then to Neil's.
Actually, and then to mine. You know? So just we'll work our way, you know, east at that point.
That's what we should have done when we got the tiny house stuck, is we just had a small army of people show up and pick it up. And
not bring in the bulldozer?
No, first.
You mean the Jeeps.
Well, Jeeps first.
The recovery attempt with Jeeps.
Listen, I know this guy's not listening or watching, but that tow truck driver couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a beach ball. I've just genuinely never met somebody who can't back up, who's driving a CDL rig, oversized, permitted, legally done. I could understand if I was paying them like tchotchke money, or this was somebody in their F-350 trying to move a mobile home. 100%. There was just no reason.
There was a sore spot, and
that had to get stuck so many times.
Honestly, we would have got it fixed if it wasn't for the little tree saver that Scott used for a strap.
Ah, hate. So much hating.
Talking about recovery, Scott's recovery rope is this big,
which is about what, 8 inches that you're holding.
Yeah,
up
there? Right. Well, if that's
it's
8 inches,
the same as your wife's.
Wow, this is going downhill fast.
Neil did replace it. That was a good part.
Yes, I replaced it with the same size. 8-inch
purple
strap. Recovery strap.
Yes, fits under the seat nicely.
It should fit in your pocket. It would better. There's no strap. It's the world's smallest recovery strap.
Now I've seen smaller ones. Remember, we have RC crawlers that use straps this big.
That was an RC crawler. That wasn't.
Thank you, Jeffrey. All right, folks. We're going to do this. We are going to take a brief moment, let Albert transition into the studio with us, get situated, get settled, and we're going to talk tow truck.
On.
He actually has a form of a Jeep, and so we'll ask him a little bit about that, and we'll ask
everyone
him about
have
some
a
of
pile
his
of Jeep.
Everyone. Oh my gosh, that should be like a banner. Everyone should have a pile O Jeep.
Yes. Why aren't we making that in a shirt already?
Right. We should. Would you buy that? Wait. If we put that on a shirt? Know.
Pile O Jeep. Well, you got to make that an Irish shirt.
Ooh.
Don't make me do an accent. We'll be right back.
SFJ listeners, we all know that one guy that always gets stuck. Well, great news! We have brought Albert on our show to talk all about trail recovery. You know, in case you're asking for a friend. Please welcome Albert!
Albert!
Also known as Tow Truck Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Good morning.
Morning, guys.
That was... The Italian Stallion, that was an excellent transition.
He loves his transition, so.
Oh, my
gosh. You guys were getting bored there for a second. I know it. You're like, is this really going on for a minute?
We all know that one guy. We're asking for a friend.
Yes. Never been stuck.
I actually. No, you know what? I'm going to have to transition real quick on that one for you, because on one of the YouTube comments recently was, has Scott ever had an adrenaline rush? That was one of the
calm,
YouTube
cool,
comments.
Collected.
And I thought, I don't know. I think actually adrenaline bothers Scott would be my...
I don't like it.
Oh, my God.
That's why Neil had this story when he was on an airplane
Yes, that's true.
And the plane was broken, yes. And I would be the guy going, "It's okay, people."
Calming everybody down. Yes,
that's what I do.
Yes, Greg would be grumbling and
fixing it with duct tape.
Yes, well,
in a professional manner.
Would literally blink and be done, and be like, "Wait, what just happened?"
Yes.
Speaking of fixing, recovering, Albert, what are you doing down there, man? You're on the phone.
I'm trying to share your podcast.
He's got a toe. He's gonna have to go.
I was gonna say, you got a toe. He's gonna leave. All right.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah, I just had like 3 missed calls.
Oh, I know. Our phone's ringing off the hook. I don't know what's going on today.
It's because it's raining. People want me to go out and get wet.
How is that? So here's the thing, folks who are listening. This is your opportunity, especially if you join us live. We're going to be talking toe and recovery. Albert's brought it up that he wants to. He doesn't want. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he likes going out and getting.
No.
No? Okay.
Not one bit.
And not one bit.
Not one bit. And that seems to be when the phone call, they all start coming in.
Oh, okay. So you get one, you get 100.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I can get this one taken care of quick and easy, and then 15 more, and I'm like, I hate every one of you. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No, call me. I'm just kidding. I was going to say, wait a second. No, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
No. I love y'all. I'm just, just seems to be when the phone gets called is when it's bad weather out.
Yeah. I love that you're always 15 minutes away.
Yes.
It turns into a half hour.
Oh, just a half an hour?
45 minutes.
Is that tow truck driver talk?
Listen. It's a 1991 International. She's slow.
So that's what you're running now. So for our listeners, you're running a 1991 International.
We got a couple, but the 91's what I've been driving lately. And then, we got an 08 that's getting ready to come out of the shop.
You've been largely driving Internationals for a decade now, though.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty close, yes. It's a dependable truck. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, well, let's see. They didn't change the body style for, I think.
Ever?
Yeah. Well, no, the cab changed. I want to say it was around late 80s. They changed the cab, and then they rocked the same cab for 13, 14 years.
Sure.
And I think the only thing that changed was literally the front clip between the 80s and the 90s. It was just a front clip change. Everything else was the same.
Correct, right? And you, are running a 7.3 in your current truck, right?
Yes, sir.
So those who are listening in, and we're totally not going to bore you with the finite minutiae.
He's trying to go down the rabbit hole.
I'm so excited about this.
He wants to do it.
I want to, but I'm not going to. Sort of a little
liar.
So, so it's important.
Now they're
to
truck
know-
bros. They both have Internationals.
Oh, here we are.
Oh boy.
I'm not going to bring up anything. So
does his have all the cool decals on it like yours?
No.
I don't have the cool rims, though. Neil's got the cool rims.
He does.
But I would have them ruined because people think you can drive that truck where it should not go.
Well, right. So we're going to dial this back. Blah, 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 first of all, about my truck, right? Because I love it.
It's a good looking truck. It's definitely a good looking truck.
And the decals they're talking about, though, is for funsies. They cut out these.
It's all Greg.
Greg cut out these little fat trucker mans in black. Because of course I have black interior and black everything. So then he hid them all around the truck. So I have these little fat trucker man Easter eggs.
Neil claimed he saw them right away, but didn't bring it up for a while.
Several months.
Listen. Yes. So
and Greg literally brought it up because it was killing him.
Yeah, because it was killing him. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I saw them. He did it while I had COVID. Right. Yes. So those of you who are listening who are not on my social media, which is okay, you know, but you should get over there. What I have is a 2000 crew cab, black aluminum. It's a 466E, which runs like a top, Scott. And I think Jeffrey did
eyes
it.
Can glaze over right about now.
Big monster turbo on it. And it's a 5-speed manual.
He's just
so
flexing
it rips
on Albert right now.
I'm. Oh, my God. No.
Yeah, that was totally a flex.
No, because Albert has like 14 trucks. So
that's true.
I pale in comparison. To that, so I'm sick with COVID, and they decide to sticker the truck
lovingly
with these fat trucker man. Now it's important to know I only owned the truck for like 2 months prior to getting sick with COVID, if that. And so I come back, I see the fat trucker decal,
I literally saw one.
I only saw one.
I don't know that he knows how many we actually put.
I saw one, and I thought, well, that guy I just bought it from was a weirdo. I it's kind of fitting. So yeah. I'll just leave the fat trucker man on there. So yeah, there's the issue there. Yours is a International 7.3, right?
Yes, sir.
Which is just a workhorse of a truck. Five-speed, six-speed.
It's a six-speed.
Six-speed. Okay. And it's a rollback. For those of you who are listening, Albert, have you ever driven anything other than rollbacks?
I do have a wrecker, but to be honest with you, I can do almost probably anything you can do with a wrecker with this rollback for certain tows. I mean, a wrecker is an awesome truck to have. I have a couple of them, but most of the newer vehicles out there right now are four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. Sometimes it could be more of a headache trying to add dollies and all the other stuff that you need to do when I can just yank it on and strap down and go.
Drag it up on the flatbed. all right, so Joe asks, how do you get reimbursed for a AAA tow? Do you have to indicate where you recovered the vehicle? We've been saved by AAA twice. So is Joe asking... Is he asking that to Albert?
I can somewhat answer that.
Okay.
As a AAA member, basically you call out their hotline and they'll send you a tow truck. You do have to indicate where to recover it at. So basically the tow truck driver is going to give you an invoice with the location and what he had to do. AAA is amazing for what it can do. I don't really do AAA because I do all the insurance companies, and the problem I will say, if you can wait, sometimes AAA is amazing, but if you can wait, AAA is only, there's only a couple people in the area that have the deal with AAA, have the account with them. So it can come to a headache to where you could be sitting there waiting for a couple hours, three, four. I've seen people wait longer. It's been there for days.
Yeah.
Because they are they're very popular at certain ends. But in this area, I always tell people to try to use their own insurance company and make sure they have towing, because the nice thing about that is you turn around, you make a phone call, and you can call your insurance company, the roadside, and tell them the situation. Problem with that is they put you in a database and that person has no clue who you are, where you're at, and where you're located. The nice thing is you could do towing near me, call the nearest tow truck driver or myself if I'm in the area, and you know, I'm talking to you. We're one-on-one with each other. I can come up with you and figure out where we need to meet to get you taken care of.
So a more personalized experience.
Yeah, more personalized. And
your insurance company is going to pay you.
Yes, the insurance company will pay me. And then worst case scenario, if you're out of town, you make sure you carry an extra card or cash with you and just get the invoice. But the nice thing is like I said, you and that rate, you can pick and choose who you get, because you could be sitting there waiting and in Joe's garage or you know, Bob's garage, somebody with a tow truck can come get you and get you off the road as soon as possible, and then you just take care of it yourself. With doing AAA, you don't always have that option. It's usually them and them only. I have had members call me. I've wrote them invoices, and they have gotten reimbursed, which is good.
Sure.
But like I said, sometimes it's nice having that option to just get it taken care of, because if you're sitting on the side of the road with the weather we got coming up, and your vehicle's not running, it's pretty cold out, and you know, it's not safe. So
yeah, especially like you were speaking about our local area, the AAA dispatch is 45 minutes or so from us, on the opposite side of the county almost. So you're sitting there for a while just for them to get to you, let alone get dispatched.
And that's it. Yeah, they're 45 minutes away. So not only are they maybe finishing a job,
yeah,
they're 45 minutes from their dispatch area.
Yeah.
So that could mean they could be 45 minutes from their shop. So now you're looking at an hour and a half, 2 hours before they even get to you.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I've ever called AAA, it's always 45 minutes. They always just say 45
minimum.
Minutes. It's not actually they ever show up in 45 minutes, but they're like, it's going to be 45 minutes.
That's how long it takes AAA to contact the
I feel
driver.
Like that's how long it's just, that's just their part of it. And they're saying, and I think Chuck's actually mentioning it. He says, Radio, what's the ETA for the hook? Maybe 45 minutes, maybe.
Yes.
Right? It's always.
And I will say,
it's a go-to.
And I will say, it's really hard trying to. You don't want to deter the person away from you. It's really hard to give somebody a time. And I hate And I always get the look at the girlfriend's always getting at me, and she goes, "You know, you're not going to be done in that time." And I'm like, "Oh, just stop it." So
your girlfriend calls you out on.
She does, and I'm not going to say. And the thing is, how do you tell a customer sometimes that you're going to be?
You lie to them. Is that what you do? You lie to them. You say, "Oh, yeah,
no,
15 minutes."
It's better to ask for forgiveness.
3 hours later.
No, but it's better to ask for forgiveness because they're not gonna. They're gonna be searching for somebody, and they're probably not gonna find them, or they're gonna be in the same situation. But the problem is you're doing a job, and the job never. You guys know. You guys get into something, and you're like, "Oh, it's just gonna be."
It blossoms from there. Always.
Yeah. A half hour turns into an hour, and then you know you do try to radio the customer and tell them, "Hey, I apologize, we're running behind." I have to do that all the time, but if you turn around, and
no, and it's important to note that the girlfriend has weighed in. And she says, "I am the brains of the operation." Nicole, we all knew that. Yes. That's okay. I mean, we knew it without you having to say it, so don't worry about that.
No, she does a great job. She definitely does all the paperwork and deals with my.
Cast of characters. That's what we have, right? Yes. And it's important. Joe Brilla says, "Our Jeeping life started with a rental Liberty." Now, you know, and everybody always calls, right? So I'm going to go back on my soapbox real quick. And they're like, "This is a Jeep. It's not a Jeep. This is a real Jeep." If it says Jeep, I'm down with it. Okay. For whatever reason, there's 101 different things. Jeep Liberty is actually pretty capable vehicles in the beginning, and they're a great starter. And he says, he got reimbursed. Where's it at? I don't know where it went. Jeeping life started with a rental Liberty stuck in a rotting snowbank.
That just takes it up 5 levels.
On a fire road near Crater Lake. AAA got us out no charge.
So my curiosity, how long did you wait for AAA?
Yeah.
And that is the question. And
how did they do it no charge? That would be the other question.
Well, if you're a AAA member.
They do. If you're
AAA member,
and a lot of the insurance companies are the same way as well. You will get no charge. But like I said, if you are an out of towner or something like that, or like if I have somebody that calls me and they're based out of the Mentor area or something, basically I give them an invoice. They would turn it in their insurance company or AAA, and they have to take care of me because that towing company that doesn't deal with that corporation or whatever all the time or whatever,
sure,
ends up, you know, I'm sitting at home for an hour and a half trying to figure out who to call, who to contact, yep, how to get paid.
Yep.
So basically that's the deal on having them pay and giving them an invoice.
Oh, yeah, we
and
totally usually, get that with
and they'll get reimbursed. They usually you get reimbursed 100%. It all depends on the plan though. Sometimes you have a plan, and as a AAA member also has a plan. They have like gold memberships to where, yeah, they'll come out, tow you, and they'll tow you, I think some of them's 100 miles.
It starts at 10 miles, and then it goes to 100 miles.
Yeah. My dad always had the gold membership with 100-mile towing.
But then sometimes, sometimes it could just be, like he said, the 10, and then then you have to take care of the rest of it.
And you know, and the thing is, we tell a lot of our customers, you know, if they are AAA members, oftentimes there's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of wiggle room, and they'll get their Jeeps actually brought out to us if their Jeep's not running or if it's inconvenient for them to drive their Jeep out, drop it off. Oftentimes, AAA will be able to bring them out here to the shop because of that 100 miles, mm-hmm, you know. So what, Albert, what was your first? Now, I kind of remember. So when did you start doing recovery professionally?
It's coming up probably on 8 years. Let's just put it this way, Neil. Professionally, it's probably been about eight and a half years.
Okay.
And then, you know, back in the day when we thought Baldwin Pond was cool and out there, I took my 1972 Chevy out there and did a lot of recoveries. And, okay. You know.
It was required out there.
Yes. And I mean, that was, you know, you're beating your truck up, and I started realizing I could probably get paid for this.
I understand that.
Yes.
So, and here's the thing. I feel like I remember you having like a tilt back though. Not like rollback, but a tilt back. But I feel like that was longer than 8 years ago.
I want to say that was probably about 10 years ago. I was doing the body shop thing. I'm taking this back about a decade or whatever.
Okay.
So I was doing the auto body and working and doing all that stuff and painting cars. And I kept watching all these older gentlemen coming in, like Ron Mackey and then Rich's Towing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen all those guys and realized that, you know, I wouldn't be stepping on anybody's toes
mm-hmm.
coming into it. And to be honest with you, I came in and it was with open arms.
Yeah.
I sat down and talked. Yeah, so I sat down and talked to Rich and all them, and Rich actually gave me like the post office, and you know he took me right up there and said, "This is the guy I want to take over my position."
Okay.
And then same thing with Ron. Ron would call me when he was still doing it. Hey, I don't want to go do this, or he'd ride with me.
Sure.
So it was nice to be able to step into this profession and have like open arms, and that's not just in the towing. I mean, that's you guys. All the dealerships, all the other shops around here, it was open arms, and it was nice. It was. I don't want to necessarily say it was easy because you always got to you know the first couple years.
Business is not easy,
yes. Right? No, business isn't easy ever.
So. But I the first thing I actually did buy was a 1983 quad cab Chevy Wrecker.
And it was a wrecker. And so real quick, wait, before you get into it, and for our people listening or viewing, give us and I've already used rollback, tilt back, and we mentioned wrecker. Brief descriptions. What's the difference?
Okay, well a wrecker is a
tow mater.
Yes, it's tow mater. Right. It smiles and runs just like that. No.
Yes.
It is just a vehicle that could have there's a couple variants of a wrecker. It could have just a winch system. Mm-hmm. It could have just a recovery system, a repo setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but a lot of them have, a lot of the wreckers are basically, if anybody's ever seen like a boom truck, it's got a boom with a winch system that runs up and that's your recovery option. Or it used to be the old school way of towing a vehicle.
Sure.
You know, running it down. And then they usually only have one way. They can only tow one car.
Sure.
So the newer ones are usually wheel lifts, and right. they have the automatic wheel lift, which actually is almost like a repo setup, but it's a quick, easy backup. And if you've ever seen your car disappear really quick, which I haven't, but so that is a wrecker setup, and they're used for a lot of off-road because they can get into where a rollback cannot. And what a rollback is it is a slide back. Basically, the bed slides back about 10, 12 feet
mm-hmm.
and comes down at an angle to winch the vehicle up. It's about 28. It could be anywhere between 28 to, I think it's like 35 feet long, depending on the length of your bed.
Sure.
And the winch is mounted on the bed.
And the winch is mounted right behind the cab on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's basically there. Well, I use it for things you probably shouldn't.
That's required to be a tow truck.
I was going to say.
Yes.
Without saying.
Yes. But a lot of all-wheel drive vehicles, four-wheel drive vehicles,
uh-huh.
You want to use a rollback because it's not going to mess up the drivetrain or transmission or transfer case.
Sure.
To where, yes, let me take it back a step. On a wrecker, you can put dollies on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tow an all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive vehicle.
Sure.
And so that is a rollback. It basically slides back and drops down. A tilt bed basically just tilts. Mm-hmm. It lifts up at an angle that is extremely hard.
Like a 45
yes,
or something,
extremely
basically.
Extremely hard to load a car on. Especially
our lower cars
yes.
today. You know what I mean? I could see years ago where you had a bigger approach angle from a truck or a car. A
tilt bed's not even really... So... He remembers the old, it was a night, I want to say it was an 83 as well. I traded the wrecker for this tilt bed.
Okay.
Not really knowing. So I was fresh in the, you know.
Yeah, you're fresh in the game. We all make mistakes early on. Don't worry about that.
But I thought, you know, a tilt bed, it's not really designed for a car. It can hold the weight of a car.
Oh, okay.
But it's not really designed. I don't know. It's designed for maybe I don't want to say pallets, but you could put something on it to basically just get it to come right off.
So it's a glorified dump truck
yes,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could put sides on them. Some of them have sides. It could have been for like hay bales or something like that. Something that
Just a long flatbed.
Yes,
that
just
tilt.
That just tilts.
So we're really not supposed to be towing off of it per se.
No,
you
I did
bought
a couple.
It. You did a couple. We all did things we're not proud of.
I'm assuming that a tilt bed is not going to have a wheel lift on the back of it.
No, no wheel lift. No wheel lift on that.
Okay.
But yeah, that ended up. We said goodbye, and then...
So, old school, we used to call that a slingback or the wrecker. You know what I mean?
Yep,
so you had your sling, right? And obviously, towing and recovery has changed so much over the years.
It went along with cars. When cars had big chrome metal bumpers, you could literally lift it by the bumper with a little bit of rubber just to protect it.
Yep.
Protect
and it.
It
wasn't going to hurt. Well,
you know, and I just remember watching the car kind of jockey, you know what I mean? Jockey as it went down the road. Yep.
And honestly, now I see more wreckers use their wheel lift.
The wheel lift. Oh, the wheel lift's spectacular.
And the boom is just there for tradition.
the boom is there because it looks cool.
No, no, the boom is, it's actually, the boom's nice for if you get something in a ditch as well. So basically you can extend that boom out. I'm not exactly sure. I have a couple of them. I've really never measured it.
Sure.
But I want to say it probably comes out a couple feet, 2.5 feet. Yeah. And it gives it the option of hanging that out into a ditch or even a rollover. You could back that wrecker up and hook onto a section of that vehicle. And I mean, it's got the power to lift. It's not going to pick the whole car up, but it's got the power to lift it. And then you could possibly drive forward.
Sure.
To roll it over.
To roll
or,
it back over.
Or like in a ditch. It will pick the section up of the vehicle and allow you to move it. You know, if you had to back up and you can get it to a more stable situation to grab it at another angle to where as a rollback, either you're going to try to put that rollback bed down into the ravine because you can get it to tilt down into it to grab the vehicle. Or you're just going to drag it to a stable situation.
Right. You're just using the hearse purrs of the truck.
Yes.
Or actually, it's not even hearse purrs, because let's be honest. Our trucks don't have the hearse purrs. You're using the winch, and you're using the torque, the low-end grunt, you know, the gearing to just try and drag it forward. So back to your first truck, you're saying, is a crew cab, 83...
Square body
wrecker.
Never really used, to be honest with you.
Oh, seriously?
Sounds
so cool.
You bought an idea.
So, amen.
No,
that,
so literally, I kept talking to some family members, and then I ended up. I purchased this truck. The dude delivered it to me.
Okay.
And I don't.
He's like, thank God.
Yeah. He's like,
exactly.
Thank God.
He's
rid
like,
of this.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I think he was going on a date, man. I'm not. Oh. He dropped this truck up. He's like, thanks. I need the money. I'm taking her
out.
I'm like,
folks. Okay. If you're listening, if somebody ever offers to deliver you a vehicle, deals off.
Yeah.
Stop it. And there
the
is
price
no,
just went down $1,000.
There is no good story that starts or ends with, oh yeah, the guy delivered it to me.
Hey, it was an hour away. I didn't want to pay for the towing.
there is no good vehicle that ever gets delivered. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You got to look at it another way. If he delivered it on a rollback, I'd be concerned that it wouldn't make the trip.
All right. So anyways, the guy delivers it. He's going on a date. He needed the money.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And you never used the truck?
No, I think I might have used it to pull an engine. For a derby car. No, it just I mean,
big
after
cherry picker.
Yeah, it it's basically it turned into picker. A cherry picker. And then, like I said, it just... You can't use it for... I mean, it was too old. I mean, it was just one of those ones. It was nice, beautiful. They did a nice design
on
it.
It was a square body.
It was a square body, and I kind of wish I kept it now, just to have, because it would be cool to just
truck hoarders.
Because we're hoarders.
That's what it is.
That's really what it comes down to.
I'm waiting for the comment to come
from the girlfriend.
From the girlfriend. She's going to tell you.
You keep them all.
She's going to tell you I have an impound of half my cars.
That's why I don't put them together, so the wife can't
that's
see
why,
them all.
I have to separate them. I have to separate them. She's like, which one's that? I'm like,
oh, that's totally
that's,
customer.
That's not mine.
That's not mine.
Yeah.
I just towed that
in
here.
Paperwork.
She's like, I don't remember doing the paperwork on that one. I'm like, because I hid the title. I mean, I don't. That one's not in yet. It's a storage lot.
Yes.
I don't see anything wrong here.
All right. So then, when do you actually? What do you actually start towing with? Because you just told us you bought a dream. You bought an idea. You got a truck.
So it was a thought. Like I said, it was a thought.
Overpriced, overbuilt cherry picker.
Yes. Actually, I got a good deal. But it was the glorified cherry picker. And let me tell you what.
Cherry picker is $170 bucks at Harbor Freight. So if you spent
this one had a square body attached.
Hold on.
And it probably had a clapped out V8.
I did not have to do any up and down motion with the cherry picker. I just used the valve body and lifted it right up.
No, it was a small block. Small block or big block?
454 big block.
Ah, okay.
Gas guzzler. Glad we don't have that right now.
Yeah, right?
Not that right? I can say anything else about any other vehicles I own.
Yeah.
Basically,
null and void.
Like I said, I talked to those gentlemen, and I get online, and there's a 1997 International Red out of Painesville.
Mm.
And I spoke to my dad, and we kind of went down and looked at it, and basically I offered the guy some cash, and I drove her home.
Okay.
And started the love affair.
And that started it.
So I've had it. So this is probably going on 8 years now. Like I said, I've probably 8 and a half, and I sadly should have let it go a while ago, but it's sitting in my impound.
Your storage lot.
It's in my storage lot.
And your storage lot.
And it's that could be another story, but it did get hit, and so they were gonna try to total it out, and I told them I would not let them do that.
Uh huh.
But it's sitting in my impound because
my precious.
It is because it started the company.
Sure.
We totally get it.
You get it. You guys,
that's where the Ram's at.
Yep.
The Ram could be half a hood and a door. And don't take my precious.
Yeah, don't take my precious.
There's not much more than half a hood and a door right now.
Hey.
And that's it, man. It started the company. It went out on those cold days and it fired up and it did its job and we got into a pretty bad wreck in it and it saved. I'm still here to talk about it and the truck's sitting there and
amen to that.
I will not. I know I got plenty of things I need to finish, but I did buy a cab for it and it will get a new bed. And I'm not telling you when it's going to happen because it could be years from now, but I plan on putting a new cab on that truck just because the cab's just getting a little rough. So I purchased a new cab. I don't care if it ever tows again.
Yeah.
I just want it. And then maybe, you know what? I'll turn it into a parade truck.
Sure.
So, and that's it. It's done its job. It's made me a lot of money. And it's continued my job of being able to do what I'm able to do. So.
That's awesome. So how many trucks?
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
and it is important to know. I want to recognize Steve Peck says, so glad I finally caught alive and the famous singing tow guy, right? Because we obviously have talked about our tow truck driver. And we are running out of time, but I do want to make sure we bring up your persona of Hilltop Honey, right? So it's important to talk about. But how many trucks? Or maybe, Nicole can. Or maybe Nicole wants to weigh in.
She probably doesn't want to count. Okay, so I started this company, and my dad and me, let's just put it this way. My dad's got in, and he's trying to help me out, which we might have purchased a couple bad ones.
Uh-huh.
Which we did. So, but no, we have... 2, 4, 6.
Who do we appreciate?
Seven. Seven rollbacks. Seven rollbacks, and I believe I have two wreckers. And
it sounds like me when I'm counting my cars. So I go in year order. That's what I do.
So I one of them, and I don't want to sound one of them's at Greg Sweets actually getting repaired.
Okay.
Because it's going to be we're actually picking up a new account, so it's going to be going Monday through Friday. Back and forth to Cleveland. So that truck's going to be on the road hopefully soon, because seeing with everything with COVID and everything, you can't seem to get parts. It's been sitting in the shop for 6.5-7 months.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it's supposed to make a lot of money every week, so I could be... Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that one. I got one that's actually sitting down by the garage getting the transmission rebuilt. It got all repainted. The bed fixed here in town, and then I got another one sitting next to it that's just waiting for a paint job.
Okay.
and it's all ready to go. It's just, but trying to find people to work and but
run trucks and not wreck them. And
so, but we're just going to do this, and we'll start off with the newer truck and continue that and see how it goes.
And I would love to keep talking about trucks and where you're going to go in life with that. And I would love to compare, because I desperately wanted to buy a crew cab rollback at one point.
I remember this.
But I'm going to leave that one to go for a future conversation.
Future show, right?
Future show, right? Future episode. And also, I have a Ron Mackey story.
Okay.
But I'm gonna leave that one
should.
As everyone should, right? There's legends of the car scene. National and local, and this guy was just a tough nose, or is a tough nose individual.
Yes,
who helped further a level of the auto enthusiasts in Northeastern Ohio.
I tend to respect those guys after you start to talk about them. You know, and not that I didn't begin with, but you know, you've seen what they did, and you're like, oh, you know, you might not have thought it was something.
Well,
until
we
you
were
do
punk,
the job.
No, punk nose teenagers, and yeah. You know everything, right? Yep. I had a friend on Facebook trying to auction off her 10-year-old because you know he knows everything at this point. So I mean, we were the same way. It's just neither here nor there. And then you get into that position yourself, and you go,
wow,
holy cow, mad respect for these people,
mad respect.
I have a question.
Oh, okay, Jeffrey. Get in there.
I want to know more about the music scene.
Oh, well, I want to ask him about his Jeep. We have so many things to talk about in so little time. We're going to have you talk about your Jeep in the future, not today.
Okay.
Let's talk about...
He does own a Jeep, people.
He does own a Jeep. He does.
I do.
It's a Pilo Jeep with the new shirt's going
to
be.
I need to bring it to FFJ to do some
what
work.
What is he going
to
bring it to?
FFJ.
Oh, okay.
I need to bring it here.
He would talk like you, Scott. I know. You're sitting too close to each other.
Well, it's I mean, real quick, I just want to let you know, I think Scott's slouching to help me out right now.
I am.
Because they sat me in this chair. People, I just want to let you know I'm in a chair. I'm 5'8". I am short. But it is a teardrop going here right now.
We offer to get you some phone books to sit on.
Like, I have to, like, hold on.
I keep, like, crouching my back a little bit so that we look a little better on the screen.
I'm trying to hold on a second.
You're in the same... You are in the same chair as Scott, though.
Scott's also taller than me, but...
Albert's quads are burning.
I'm trying to make
time.
It look like I'm at least not 5 foot, all right? Man, wow.
And so on the stage, the problem is your persona of your lead, your front man of Hilltop Honey is who you get at the tow truck, right? That's what I always think is so funny.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your music career. Jeffrey, if folks don't know, the Italian Stallion is not only a fantastic podcast producer, but he is a diehard music fan and certainly the indie scene. Of everything over, you know, that's his priority. So talk to us. Tell us about your front man experience.
Okay. So I'll get into it real quick. Let's see here. So it started out as young age real quick. Mom listened to Bon Jovi, rocking and rolling down the road. And then parents owned a bar, ended up running the karaoke scene, started singing. And then
people, I really didn't realize that.
Yeah. And then people actually ran into me. Hey, you know, and long story short, that's how I ended up talking to a bunch of people, and that's how Hilltop Honey ended up kind of
karaoke scene.
The karaoke scene.
Out of where?
The old Luce's Trackside.
There you go. Which you do own now.
We are definitely doing a karaoke sing-off for you
later.
We
are absolutely not.
No, we are. Exactly.
As long as I'm not involved, that's fine.
But
Scott, you're the backup singer.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
All
Scott
you gotta
absolutely
do is just,
has to be the backup
you
singer.
You just gotta just do a little bit
of
that.
Oh, my God. I am here if we do I don't know what it's not a duet, there's three of us, but like it's triway, try.
Oh,
triad.
Oh man.
It could still be a duet with a backup singer. It's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. I'm here for that, and Scott is going to be like beatboxing for us. That's no, but it has to be Scott beatbox. Like, go ahead, give us a shot, Scott. Go ahead.
He's like, no.
Hard pass.
Just
come on, Scott.
Just say curiosity.
Can I do it with a Jeep motor?
No, let's stop
vroom,
it.
Vroom, vroom.
He did it. He did it, folks. So.
But
so how long's Hilltop Honey been together?
Hilltop Honey has been together over 10 years now.
Okay.
Over 10 years.
Predates the towing.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been... I always get the girlfriend always makes a joke and says, everybody that gets the tow truck driver gets Steve Urkel. Because, you know, I'm dressed in, well, yeah.
Tow truck attire.
Tow truck attire. Uh-huh. So it's either blue jeans or, you know, some
coveralls.
I've certainly seen you
roll in here like you just rolled out from underneath the truck.
Yep, so.
Like yeah. Cooter. You look like Cooter. Yeah, 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 let's be honest.
See, I was always trying to shoot for Bo or Luke Duke.
I know that's who you want to be.
Man.
I'm just telling you, this is the dichotomy that makes you so interesting. Because you roll in.
You, not you pick it.
Right.
So, and
it's life, man.
And then it's funny because, you know, you do the gym thing and then, I go and I purchase all these clothes that I wear like maybe once a month, if that.
Right, right.
Because literally the towing attires, when you say 24/7, like, you know, you're coming home, you're showering, you're getting ready to hop into bed and then you're hopping back in your clothes again. So, sure. And yeah. But the Hilltop Honey thing is, it's like she always says I'm Stefan Urkel when I step on stage. It's like a totally different version of me.
Absolutely.
Which is, it's cool. I mean, you get that opportunity and, you know, I've kind of, you know, I did the cop thing. That's what I went to school and did. But because I always wanted to, you know, put on a uniform and look presentable.
Sure.
I just didn't realize I was putting on the wrong one and I get dirty all the time. And
because that is important to note for those who are listening. You are still a deputy officer, right?
Yeah, I'm out of at Ashtabula. I go in there and still volunteer and everything. And I would have...
When?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I got to give it up for Ashtabula. I mean...
I think we need to give it up for Nicole, yeah. As many of our other spouses.
When does she see you?
That's why she's on the podcast right now. This is
this is when she actually gets to see
him. She's like, I'll see you later, honey, on TV.
Right? Right?
But no, it's yeah. I don't get to do it as much, but I kept it because quick story, before my mom passed away, that's what I went and did. I went and did the schooling for to be a police officer at Cleveland Heights, and I did all that, and while I was doing that, my mom was like, "I will I'll take care of you. I'll pay your truck payment. I'll take care of all your bills. Go do what you want
to
do."
She was really inspiring
yes,
you to do that.
Yes, and the sad part is, yes. So, and the sad part is literally I was working a job. My mom told me to quit to pursue my career. I did that. I put my 2 weeks in, and literally within that 2 weeks, right after I like put my last day in, my mom just passed away unexpectedly. So,
right.
I didn't really pursue the cop job right away, and they did a lot of layoffs at that point. So I ended up doing my own thing, and then that's, you know, I got into the towing, and I don't know, I was just sitting at home, and I'm like, I can't let this go.
Sure.
Just because of the meaning behind it. So I actually went and retook my test just because I was coming up on because your certification runs out after so long.
Sure.
So I hurried up and did that, and got recertified, got in Ashtabula, and I go do like the parades or if there's a marathon, sure. And then every now and then I'll do a third shift when I get a free moment, which is very rare, but uh-huh. I try to do that, you know. Sure. You know, all know how it is having
kids.
Give
me a whole new perspective.
Well.
I thought I was busy.
Oh, right. I mean, and that's, again, the cast of characters that makes SFJ. There's really not anybody who is directly or just kind of on the periphery involved with the business who sits on their hands. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, yes. This is I think that's what is a little bit of our secret sauce when people look in and they either see what they perceive as success or they see, or they don't exactly know what they're looking at. They're going, I think that business back there's got it together, but I'm not sure why and what,
and
you know, what gives me that feeling. Yeah. And how, it's just cause people who are involved and who we don't sleep, it's really family and friends. Yeah, we don't sleep and we just keep grinding.
It's about the drive, the strive, and the family and friends that
kind of keep you going.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's, you know what, we're going to have to do this again in the future, okay, because there's so much more to talk about and share, because we didn't even talk about, you know, getting into performances and your Jeep and your nasty 72. It's a 72, right?
Winch rope.
68.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a second.
We're going to talk about the winch rope, though. Okay. So we got to transition. We're going to talk about hashtag not sponsored and then close it out, folks.
And now it's time for our product spotlight.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Spotlight.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Microphone while you're at it, though. You know, no, you get to stay.
Toes. Oh, okay. I'm trying to go to work. No, I'm joking.
No,
it's raining outside. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Phones rang in, and you're like, it's so wet and cold.
I'm sorry, everybody that's tried to call me right
that's
now.
Right,
I'm not going
right.
to lie to you. I apologize.
Well, see, I want to ask that about Hilltop minutes. Honey, but, you know, that's right. It'll be 15. It'll be 15.
Just we can still stay on the air. Come on.
We're not. No. We all do have work.
We all have to work.
So, hashtag not sponsored. We have this lovely, crazy coiled product here. Looks a little snake-ish, a little bit of electrical cord. It is, in fact, a synthetic winch rope by Warn.
Yep.
We thought it was only fitting since we'd be talking a little bit about recovery, towing, and the like. And recently we brought in the relaunch of the 8274, which
has this.
Has this
rope on it.
Exact rope on it. And so this is the Spidura synthetic rope by Warn.
Yep.
And we could spend an entire podcast on steel versus synthetic.
We could. Yes.
And we're not going to today.
Future episode.
Yep. Like future shirts.
This is not the exciting Spidura, though. They actually make a glow-in-the-dark Spidura.
What?
I could use that.
What? They call it the Nightline synthetic rope.
You could, Al. That would
be kind of neat. Well, in a safety perspective, it really would be. Because if somebody, if that was glowing and somebody was coming down the road and you're in an area where somebody could cross or walk
across,
into.
Yeah, if you're across.
It would definitely be a safety.
Yeah, cool.
So,
figure.
So the Nightline synthetic rope features 3M light-activated reflective strands for high visibility and strands. Constructed which ultra high
who prepped this for him?
He did. He prepped it for
a lot of big words, people. We're gonna do our best.
It's a good rope. It's a good rope. Prepped, that's all I know.
You prepped your own.
He said to me before the show, he goes, "This is gonna be a struggle. There's a lot of big words on here." He's like, I can't
ultra
read
high
these
molecular
words.
Weights.
He prepped his own test.
Anyway,
he prepped it. He just didn't read it again.
This is the remix for the beatbox.
Chuck is asking you to repeat that, please.
Glow in the dark recovery in a rave.
So this is the regular Spidura.
Glow in the dark recovery in a rave.
Oh, man.
Which is also constructed by unique ultra-high molecular weight prior.
How can you say molecular, but you can't read the rest of that?
I'm not going to try to...
Albert, do you want to read it?
I'm not sure I would do any better. I mean, there's a lot of things people probably have no idea what he's saying.
This is a good rope.
You put this in your winch and it will work.
It works.
So then we have to talk about the Spidura Pro. Oh, mainly because
we have to talk about it, Scott.
Or
we
do.
We're not going to know though,
because how do you heat?
We talked about anything yet?
How do you heat treat synthetic rope? I don't know, but the Pro is heat treated.
How do you heat treat it?
I'm going to guess overuse it.
No, it's, right? It's something you want. They heat treat it. That's a good process.
The Pro is lightweight, durable, and easy to handle. It's 38% stronger than standard. Because this is, you know,
this
regular.
This is weak at
this
standard,
weak.
Apparently.
I had to laugh at this, too. Let's see, where is it? It's twice the breaking strength of their competition, but they're not telling you who.
Oh, I want to know who their competition is. Right? Who did they test against?
No. Right. Is that one UV?
So
that it's heat treated, would that make it
better?
It
doesn't say. I would
that
guess
makes
that
me wonder.
Cell the Sun doesn't like it.
That is one of the criticisms of synthetics in general.
I'm going to venture a guess that the heat treated is to be more resistant to the rope melting.
Okay.
In the winch, because we're
just making stuff up, people.
I mean, it's a guess that I'm venturing.
It doesn't say that. He'll be juggling it later.
He will be juggling it.
I will.
But it is made with a heat-treated fiber that delivers maximum tensile strength. Heat-treated, people.
Heat-treated. I don't know.
I don't know why they put all those big words in there to begin with. I'm not trying to be mean. Half the people probably have no clue what they mean.
100%. We're just going to talk in molecular structure of the rope. And people are going to go, that's really good rope.
They
do make little Bubba rope style stuff for this.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I'm gonna try
winch rope extensions.
We're losing it here.
Take my money.
Scott just mumbles words out into the podcast universe,
and people want to buy it.
This good rope.
Andrew got me.
So we have the Italian Stallions over here juggling.
Yep.
Albert's preparing for a concert. Scott is mumbling about good synthetic rope, and it's pouring rain. We've got Jeeps to work on. Folks, we hope that you enjoyed this podcast as much as we did. Join us next week for episode number 45. October will be upon us, and it is going to be a busy, busy, busy one. If you like this episode, make sure you leave us a review somewhere, wherever you're joining us at. If you're on YouTube, head over to the I Speak Jeep Podcast YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe over there, but also make sure you're watching on our SFJ 4x4 TV for all your latest and greatest updates. Anything else?
Well, I wanted to thank you guys for bringing me on here.
No problem.
I greatly appreciate it.
It is our pleasure always. And
don't forget, though, if you... You can always call AA towing. We don't want your arms or legs. We just want your toes.
Jeep on, family.
Thank you.
Jeep on.
I need to bring it to FFJ to do some
what
work.
What is he going
to
bring it to?
FFJ.
Oh, okay.
I need to bring it here.
He would talk like you, Scott. I know. You're sitting too close to each other.
Well, it's real quick, I just want to let you know, I think Scott's slouching to help me out right now.
I am.
Because they sat me in this chair. People, I just want to let you know, I'm in a chair. I'm 5'8". I am short. But it is a teardrop going here right now.
We offered to get you some phone books to sit on.
Like, I have to, like, hold on.
I keep, like, crouching my back a little bit so that we look a little better on the screen.
I'm trying to hold on a second.
You're in the same... You're in the same chair as Scott, though.
Shh. Scott's also taller than me, but...
Albert's quads are burning.
I'm trying to make it look like I'm at least not 5 foot, all right? Man, wow.
Okay. I'm here for that. And Scott is going to be like beatboxing for us. No. But it has to be Scott beatbox. Like, go ahead. Give us a shot, Scott. Go ahead.
He's like, no.
Hard pass.
Come
on, Scott.
Just say curiosity.
Can I do it with a Jeep motor?
No. Let's stop
vroom,
it.
Vroom, vroom.
He did it. He did it, folks. So.